Amen. It's good to be in church tonight. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm not ashamed. Amen. We should never be ashamed of the Lord. He wasn't ashamed of us. Amen. And thank the Lord for that thought. If you have your Bibles with us here tonight, turn with me to the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter number 16. And I just want to say, as you're finding your place, what a privilege it is to be here tonight. And it's always a privilege to be able to stand and preach the Word of God. But it's a special honor tonight to be able to stand here in this pulpit and preach. Your pastor's been faithful for many years. Ever since I was a teenage young man, I got to hear Brother Mickey Carter preach for the first time. And praise the Lord for what the Lord has allowed him to accomplish here in this area and for the cause of Christ and around the world. And thank the Lord for that. 2 Samuel chapter number 16, we find here, if you're familiar with the chapter, a period in David's life where he faces, I believe, one of the hardest portions of his life. I believe as a parent, you read the Word of God, but when you become a parent, you get a new light on it because you experience something you've never experienced before. I believe when I became a parent for the first time, I understood the love of a father for a child like I never understood before. And David comes to a point in his life where his child has turned against him. Yeah. And I believe it has to be one of the lowest points in David's life. I could not imagine the agony that went along with that. David was a strong warrior. He had fought his entire life. He had fought the Philistines. He had fought the outward enemies of God. And now he has to fight within the kingdom walls, within his own house he has to fight. And that's where we find David here in 2 Samuel chapter 16. We'll be reading two verses here. Verse number 13, the Bible says this, "And David and his men went on by the way. And as David and his men went on by the way, Shimei went along on the hillside over against him and cursed as he went and threw stones at him and cast dust. And the king and all the people that were with him came weary and refreshed themselves there." We find here that David, the warrior, the great king, and along with David were all his mighty men, the men that had fought battle after battle, after battle, after battle, come to a point now. The Bible describes them with one word. He says they came weary. There's times in all of our lives that we become weary. The Bible tells us in Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 9, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 13, but ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing." That word weary goes beyond just being tired. I've been tired, amen? I've been tired, but weary goes beyond just being fatigued. The word weary means this: having the strength much exhausted by toil or violent exertion, tired, fatigued. I mean, it's dead tired. If you're from Alabama, amen. You're just tired out. But it goes on not only physical exhaustion, but it also has to do with having the patience exhausted. Now, if you're a parent, you know what that means. Having patience exhausted, amen. He says, having patience exhausted or the mind yielding to discouragement. That's what weariness can cause. Our mind can be yielded to discouragement. And in our Christian lives, we all face times in our lives where we come to these places where we are weary. We're weary from the battle. We're weary from the day-to-day struggle. There's just times where we work nonstop, day in, day out, and we become weary. The Bible says here, he tells us, he gives us warning, be not weary in well-doing. I like how the Word of God, how it says in well-doing. The Bible doesn't tell us not to be weary of well-doing. Hey, if we're saved, we're born again, we know for sure we're on our way to heaven, how can we be weary of well-doing? How can we be weary of going to church? If we're truly saved, I don't understand how people fall out of church. But how could we be weary of well-doing? How could you be weary of going soul winning? I've been weary in going soul winning before. But I've not gotten weary of it, because when I'm weary in it, I'll knock on someone's door and I'll get to witness to them. and they'll accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, and man, I've got new energy again. If you know what I'm saying, amen. But the Bible says here that he gives us the warning, let's not be weary in well-doing. Hey, tonight I want to look at the life of David here and understand some things, what we need to do when we become weary. It's not a matter of if you're going to become weary. It's a matter of when you're weary. Right. And when you come to those times in your life, when you're weary, you need to know what to do. And tonight, that's what I want to look at from the life of David. Dear Lord, I pray you'll help us tonight. Help us to learn, Lord, that when we are weary, that you're right there with us. And I pray that you'll help us, Lord, as we open the Word of God. I pray that you'll let me be decreased and let you be increased, Lord. And I pray that your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, I believe from the Word of God, we can find the first thing that we need to do when we come to those times where we're weary is we need to, first of all, realize that we're vulnerable. Many times, we as Christians, we go day in and day out in the work of the Lord. We're in the house of God. We're in our Bible reading on a daily basis. And we get to points in our lives where we're weary. And we say, well, I'm a good Christian. I'm faithful to church. I'm a soul winner. I tithe. I give to missions. I do all these things. And we think we're invincible. As long as I'm continue to do and do and do, I'm invincible. You know what? I've seen people who are doing the right things that Satan has conquered and defeated while they were doing the right motions. Listen, it's more, we need to understand when we're weary, when we come to those points in our lives, when we've been going and going and going and going, that's when we're most vulnerable. Hey, I don't know about you, but when I'm tired, I can get cranky. I'll just be honest with you. I know we're not a Catholic church, but I'll confess tonight, amen. I'll get cranky. I'll be easily irritated. You know, when I'm weary, when I'm tired, sometimes I can make the wrong decision. Yes, amen. You know, we need to understand something. When we're weary, that's when Satan is prone to attack. Yes. He's looking for when we're weak. Listen, when you're on top side and you're not weary, you're energized, you're ready to go, Satan's not necessarily going to attack you. Why? Because you're in the middle of the herd. The Bible, it describes Satan as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, the Bible says. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Satan knows when we're weary. He watches us. And when we're weary, that's when he's ready to attack. So the first thing we need to do when we become weary is to realize when I'm weak, I'm vulnerable. When I'm weary, I'm vulnerable. That's when Satan's going to attack me, so I better beware. I better be serious-minded. I better watch on every side, be vigilant, because my adversary, the devil, is watching and he's waiting to devour me. So the first thing we need to do is we need to realize when we're weary, we're vulnerable. The second thing we need to do when we're weary, we need to rely on the Lord. You know, very rarely in the life of David do you ever see David doing anything without first consulting the Lord. Over and over again, before David would go to battle, he would inquire the Lord, and he would ask, should I go to battle? And he would wait on the answer from the Lord before he did anything. David knew what it was to rest in the arms of Jesus. He knew what it was to lean on the everlasting arms. You read the Psalms, and over again, you see David and David talking to God about his tears, about his sorrow. And David knew what it was to lean upon the Lord. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. Sounds like he's pretty weary. He's gone through all these things, infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. See, the Apostle Paul knew what it was to lean on the Lord. And listen, when you're weary, child of God, let me tell you, you've got to learn that you can't do it on your own. Let me tell you, I've failed more times when I've tried to do it in my own power. Yes. When I've tried to walk in the Christian life in my own power, I've seen more Christians fall flat on their face because they didn't rely on the power of the Holy Spirit of God. They thought that they could make it on their own. And Christian, let me just tell you tonight, I don't care if you've been saved 5 minutes or 50 years. You can't do it on your own. The very best Christian, if you try to walk and serve God on your own, I'm going to tell you where you'll be not far from here. You'll be on your face in failure because you can't serve God on your own. I know there's many college students here tonight. Hey, the training that you're getting in Bible college is vital. Let me tell you something. You can't serve God on your own. You've got to learn what it is to rely on the Lord. You've got to learn what it is to lean on those everlasting arms. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 28, the Bible says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. We find here from Scripture that God never gets weary. Hey, Isaiah said here, hey, didn't you hear that the God, the creator, he doesn't get weary. Hey, Christian, when you get weary, there's one place you can go. And you can know that there's someone. Hey, listen, as Christians, you know, your Sunday school teacher gets weary sometimes. Your best friend, the best Christian that you know gets weary sometimes. But there's one person that never gets weary, and that's God. Hey, listen, you can go to him anytime, day or night, and you can know that he's there and he'll not be weary. He'll be exactly what you need when you need. I have never opened the Word of God, needing something from the Word of God, and not been able to get it from God. Because he's ever faithful. He's never failed me once. Hey, listen, I'm with the psalmist David tonight. I'm not as old as some people, but I have been young, and my gray hair says I am old now. Yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. Hey, thank God that he's never failed one of us. Hey, I failed him before, but he's never failed me. Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 31. But they that wait upon the Lord. Same chapter. He says, hey, didn't you hear that God never gets weary? He gets down to the end of the chapter. He says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hey, when you're weary, go to the one who's never weary. Learn to lean on the everlasting arms. Rely on the Lord. Hey, listen, I'm just telling you tonight, Christ is all you need. Christ is all I need. If you rely on the Lord, if you'll learn what it is to depend upon him, you'll find he's all you ever need. Hey, listen, tonight, if you're weary, when we get weary, we need to realize that we're vulnerable. When we're weary, we need to learn that we've got to rely on the Lord. That's the place that we have to run to. We don't need to run to a friend for encouragement all the time. We need to run to the Lord for encouragement. Hey, listen, I've had times in my life where I've needed some encouragement, and there was no one that I could go to. My daughter, Grace, she's 13 years old. She just turned 13. That means I'm old. I have a teenager now. She just turned 13, and 13 years ago when she was born in March, she was born on a Wednesday morning. And she had some blood sugar problems, and as a new parent, we didn't know what all that meant. But all we knew is that the doctors kept saying, you know, we've got to take her back to the NICU and check her blood sugar because her blood sugar keeps dropping and going up and down. And got about church time. All our friends and family were in church where everybody should be on a Wednesday night. Amen? All our friends and family were in church. And the NICU nurse came in and said, we've got to check her blood sugar. And she said, if it drops one more time below this certain level, she could have brain damage. Let me just say tonight, she doesn't have brain damage, amen? But we didn't know anything about it. I mean, the first time we'd ever been parents. We'd never had a child before. And they took Grace out of the room, and I looked over at my wife, who had just had an operation to have our daughter. And what do we do? Can't call anybody. My wife's mom's a registered nurse, but we couldn't get in touch with her to get some actual information. What do we do? I walked over next to her, sat on the side of the bed. I got my Bible out, began to read the Word of God. And I put my arm around my wife, and I began to pray. And I said, God, I don't know what you have for our family. But let me tell you this. Whether she has brain damage or not, we'll raise her for your honor and glory if you'll give us the strength. I'm telling you, I'm not lying. I'm not just preaching now. I'm telling you the truth. Not 2 minutes later, that same nurse wheeled our daughter back in, said her blood sugar's fine, and her blood sugar never dropped again. Now, that's God. There was no one else that we could go to. I have a similar situation with my son, Neil, my last son. I was pastoring in North Carolina. It's the middle of the night. My wife came to me and she says, we've got to go to the hospital. I think I lost the baby. I call my deacon. He comes and sits with my other two kids because they're already in bed. It's after midnight. We're sitting at the hospital waiting for the technician to come and do the ultrasound. It took, it seems like, an hour, 2 hours. It felt like an eternity. I had called my mother-in-law. I said, listen, these are the symptoms. The baby's probably gone, right? She's a registered nurse. She said, most likely, yes. We sat there in that waiting room, and we wept and prayed and wept and prayed for what seemed like an eternity. And we gave it into the Lord's hands. The technician came in, and obviously you know the rest of the story because he's sitting in church tonight. He was fine. But listen, I believe with all my heart. You say, you don't know what it would have been. I just believe you got to give it to the Lord. I just believe you got to turn it over to Him. And when you don't have an answer, say, Lord, I'm relying on you. Hey, that's what you do when you're weary. You rely on the Lord. Hey, what do you do when you're weary? Thirdly, I believe you need to retain your sword. Hey, when you're weary, that's not the time to lay down the sword. So many people, when they get tired and they get weary, they want to take the sword and they want to set it over to the side and go rest. That's not the time to put down the sword. Hey, when you're weary, you need to learn that you need to hold on to the Word of God. Keep the sword in your hand. Keep it close by. Keep it in your hand. I'm reminded of one of those mighty men that were with David that day when he had to flee from Absalom. One of the mighty men that were with David that day was Eliezer. Eliezer was the one who fought, and the Bible says he fought till his hand was weary. I've done a little construction in my time, and I swinging a hammer sometimes. When you're swinging a hammer all day, your hand kind of gets cramped up a little bit. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. But I can imagine that's probably some of the pain that Eliezer was feeling in his hand as he began to fight, and as he fought and he continued to fight. You know what? When my hand got weary with that hammer, I'd switch hands, and I would try to use my left hand a little bit. I'm not left-handed. That doesn't work out very good. But I'd switch hands, and I'd try to use the left hand a little bit and let my right hand rest. Eliezer, he just kept a swinging, man. He held on to that sword, and the Bible says that his hand clave to the sword. And listen, child of God, when you get weary, what you need to do is keep swinging the sword. Don't put the sword down. Don't put it in its sheath. Don't walk away from the battle. Keep swinging the sword. When you feel like you can't go on, keep swinging the sword. Don't give up. Don't give in. Keep swinging the sword. Hey, listen, the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter number 20, we find the prophet Jeremiah coming to a point in his life that I believe Jeremiah faced some weariness. Jeremiah, that weeping prophet, the one who prophesied his whole life and preached and obeyed God his whole life, never to see the nation of Israel turn back to God. That's Jeremiah. And Jeremiah comes to a place in his life in Jeremiah chapter number 20. He says, O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made reproach unto me and a derision daily. That's where Jeremiah was. That's how he felt. Then the very next verse says, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. He was ready to wave the white flag and give up. That's where he was. And the Bible says here, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. That's where Jeremiah found himself. He says, I wanted to quit. Everything was against me. I was tired. I was weary. It felt like all hope was gone. I'm ready to give in. But his word, it was like a burning fire. And I couldn't help it. I had to keep going. Hey, child of God, when you're weary, you need to run to the Word of God. Hey, when you're on topside, be in the Word of God. You know how you get the Word of God in your heart? By staying in the Word of God. By reading your Bible on a daily basis. Say, Pastor, or I'm not your pastor, Brother Mark, amen. I read my Bible, and I always hear preachers saying, you need to read your Bible every day. Why do preachers always say that? Man, I've heard that my whole life. And every time a preacher gets up, he says, read your Bible. You read your Bible every day. What? Come on, we got it. You would be surprised if we walked into the average Baptist church, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church, and got people to actually be honest with us. Say, did you read your Bible today? How much have you read your Bible this week? I believe we would be appalled. Let me tell you something. The Word of God is what's going to keep you from quitting when you get weary. It's what's going to give you the strength that you need. Hey, you cannot overemphasize the necessity of staying in the Word of God. It is impossible for a Christian to read the Bible too much. We need to retain our sword when we're weary. The Bible tells us here that Jeremiah was ready to quit, but the Word of God was what kept Jeremiah from throwing in the towel. Hey, it's the same thing that'll keep you from throwing in the towel when you get weary. It's the Word of God. And then lastly, and I'll be finished, when we're weary, we need to realize that we're vulnerable. We need to rely on the Lord. We need to retain our sword. And fourth and lastly, when you're weary, you need to remember to quit. You say, preacher, you just said the Q word. Yep, you got to remember to quit. Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, verse number 13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. For a long time, I grew up in church. My dad's pastored my entire life, and I read that verse of Scripture I can't tell you how many times. Until one day, I got smart enough to not quit thinking I knew what the word meant and look it up in the dictionary. Let me tell you something. The Webster's 1828 dictionary is the best Bible studies tool you can ever get. Amen? Better than any commentary out there. The word quit means this, to carry through, to do or perform something to the end so that nothing remains, to discharge or perform completely. That's what the Bible's talking about. He says, quit ye like men. He said, finish what you started. Hey, listen, I started this thing a long time ago, and I've just determined I'm going to finish what I start. I don't like projects being half done. I've got a bunch of projects at home that are half done. We just got done trying to remodel a place for our family to live. We moved to Alabama about 9 months ago. 2 weeks later, we got a home to remodel. I've been working trying to get it remodeled. I still have things that need to be done. And they nag at me all the time. But you know what? They're going to get finished. I'm not going to quit working on it. Hey, and the same thing is true in the Christian life. We've started something. We started down this road of serving God. Hey, guys, if you set out to serve God with your life, finish serving God with your life. If you start out to serve God with your life, hey, if God calls you to preach, he never uncalls you to preach. If God calls you to serve him, Christian, and he's called all of us to serve him, he doesn't uncall you to serve him. Hey, listen, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That's for every one of us. Every child of God has that command of God, that call of God on their life. He doesn't uncall us from that. Hey, listen, you need to finish what you start. Don't quit and give up, but quit like a man. The Bible says, quit you like men and be strong. Hey, listen, that tells me right there that if you're going to be a man, you need to be a man. If God made you a man, then be a man. In other words, man up and finish what you started. Hey, child of God, I don't know where you are tonight, but I know that all of us get to points in our lives where we're weary. If you're a new Christian and you haven't gotten to a point like that yet, it's going to come. Hey, maybe tonight you're on a mountaintop and you're not weary. The valley's coming. Weariness will inevitably come. When weariness comes, what do you do? That's what's going to determine the outcome. Are you going to try to go on your own strength, or are you going to realize that you're vulnerable? Are you going to go on your own strength, or are you going to rely on the Lord? Are you going to throw in the towel and give up the word of God? Are you going to keep swinging the sword? Are you going to give up and throw in the towel, or are you going to finish like a man? Listen, men are not quitters. Real men don't quit. We finish what we start. Hey, child of God, we need to be finishers. Anybody can quit. Anybody can give up. Anybody can throw in the towel. But it takes someone who relies on the Lord. It takes someone that holds on to the sword to finish. What do you do when you're weary? Hey, child of God, it's up to you. God is faithful. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is not a respecter of persons. The same God that's been with your pastor through all these years is there for you. The same God that has been with my father all these years, he's there for me. Let me tell you something tonight. The choice is up to us. It's whether or not we're going to rely on the Lord, or we're going to try to do it in our own strength. Tonight, what do we do when we're weary? Let's just decide we're going to finish. Dear Lord, I pray that you'll help us tonight. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you'll take something that was said. I pray that you would use it in our lives for your honor and glory. We'll thank you for all that's accomplished through your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand with our heads bowed, please. Brother Mark didn't know it. He got on a subject that's been our theme subject since we came here as pastor, Galatians 6:9, be not weary. It's good you come to church tonight because we all get weary. And tonight, we found the answer to it. The invitation tonight might be, Lord, I came and got just what I needed. Now help me to apply it. Boy, I tell you what, it's the devil's big tool to catch us when we're weary. Try to talk us into quitting, giving up. Gives us all kind of excuses and criticisms where we justify quitting. Be not weary in well-doing. Father, thank you for the message tonight. Lord, as we give just a few minutes of invitation, if somebody comes to the altar or not, I pray they'd look in their heart and say, Lord, thank you for helping me tonight to realize I am vulnerable, that I can get in the valley. Father, I pray you'd speak to all our hearts about this thing and encourage us. In fact, we come to your house tonight, encourage us, Lord, to not be weary in doing right and serving you. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. We'll sing. Whatever God's asked you to do, you do it as we sing.
I have decided.